Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study. So it is said that the book of Psalms gives us a sneak peek into how complex and emo our souls really are. And so because of that, tonight is going to be a little different. You guys are used to kind of an outlined expository message. Quite honestly, I don't even know how to classify this message, but felt so compelled by the Lord to share this because He wouldn't even let me get away from it. I spent a whole day trying to study something else, and He just would not let me do it. And so because of that, you can turn your Bibles to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, and we're going to just look at, we're going to be kind of all over the place, but we're going to be anchored in Psalm 61. Psalm 61, and if you guys don't mind and stand as we read God's Word. All right, so Psalm 61, a little bit of the context. It's not really sure as to whether or not this was a time when he was running away from his son, Absalom, that had taken over his kingdom. He had tried to do a coup on his father. And so this is, it's not really sure when this psalm was written, but it is assumed that it was during the time when he was running away from his life. And the person that was after his life was his son. And so this is when David pens this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. This is God's word. You guys can take a seat. All right, let's go ahead and ask for help. So join me and pray for our time together. Lord, how beautiful it is that you hear us. Whether it be when times are great or where times are terrible, Lord, you are readily there. You attend to our prayer. When our hearts are overwhelmed, Lord, you lead us to that rock. And so, Lord, can you lead us to Jesus tonight, who is that rock? Lord, may we leave here more enthralled, more in love with who you are. That we don't have to clean ourselves up before coming to you. You actually welcome our messiness. And so, Lord, can you use the testimony of my life and use the testimony of my family's life to bring you glory, to show your people why it is so important to be in your word, to be shaped by it, to be convicted by it. So help us, Lord. Help us to get to know you more. Father, I pray for a clarity of speech and a clarity of thought. May the way that I preach and teach tonight just be helpful to us. May we leave tonight, like I said earlier, more in love with you. That is our prayer, Lord. That's why we're here. We're here to encounter you. Help me do that, Holy Spirit. And it is in the beautiful and powerful name we ask all these things, and God's family says, amen. So, how many of us went to the men's breakfast? How many of us? Two, three? I ended up sleeping in for this last men's breakfast, but that whole day, I was kind of thrown into a little bit of a funk because, and if you guys don't know, we have our men's breakfast every quarter, and the last men's breakfast that we had, it was August 27th, and on August 27th, the life of my family and I changed forever. It was probably about 6:15 a.m. when I got a phone call from my mom. Waking up, she only said these words, "Your brother is dead. Come home." I go over to my mom's house, filled with adrenaline. I hope to God this is just her over-exaggerating. I pull up, and there's cops in front of my parents' apartment. And I go up the stairs, see the police. It is confirmed, yes, my baby brother had fallen asleep at the wheel, and he died. And when the police left, the three of us just sat there. The three of us just sat there. And at that moment, what do you do as a Christian? At that moment, how do you deal with that? How do you process that? And as a people of God who know God, where do we go? Immediately, if you're a Christian, you go straight to Jesus. And honestly, that's where we went. We went straight to Jesus. But how we got there played a big role as to why I bring this up. So how and what we thought about Jesus in that moment is why I'm here to share this with you guys tonight. Because at that moment, what I thought about Jesus came out. And our minds went to Jesus, and it went through a very specific route, namely the Word of God. Immediately, our hearts and minds went to the Bible. It went to God's character. It went to the truths of Scripture. It went to His precepts. It went to passages of Scripture that I've read years and years before. It went to doctrine that is laid out all over the Bible. The thing that we, and this is the crazy thing, there was not a Bible opened right there in our kitchen counter. It was in here, and it was in here. And it was at that moment we were able to experience the verse in Colossians where Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And because we know that the word of God is living and active, that's exactly what happened at that moment. It immediately took us to the feet of Jesus, where that moment the three of us there could raise our hands painfully and say, "Lord, you give and you take away. Though you slay me, we will worship you." Synonymously, all three of us, without a doubt, said that. All because of our daily need of reading our Bibles. So I'm sharing this not to make you guys think that my family and I are so spiritual. No, this was a power outside of us that was able to give us this sort of a perspective. And that perspective stemmed by the daily consumption of God's Word. It protected my family and I from the schemes of Satan. After getting such terrible news, Satan wouldn't love anything more in the world than to capitalize on this very moment. The Word of God for us was a shield. It kept us from emotions, from natural carnal reflexes that we were tempted to have. The Word of God began to inform, control, and shape what we thought about Jesus at that moment. We began to think about Philippians 4, where Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." At that moment, we started to think about the resurrection of Christ and the power of the resurrection of Christ. We then began to think about how Paul would talk about sharing in Christ's sufferings, and that also that we began to think about how in the book of Hebrews, we have a sympathetic high priest. That in Jesus, we have someone that we can sympathize with. that he can sympathize with us. God, the Creator, can sympathize with all of us. There was not and there is not an emotion that God cannot relate to you and me. And at that moment, we began to think about these things. And like the psalm we just read there in verse 2, at that moment when our hearts became overwhelmed, we were led to the rock that is far higher than I. Jesus is that rock. And the way that we were led there was through the Word of God. That's how we got there. It wasn't what we thought about Jesus. It wasn't what I saw on TV about Jesus. It wasn't something that I just magically thought about who God is. No, the thoughts that my family and I had about Jesus were informed by the Word of God. And then Psalm 19, verse 25 came to mind, where it says there, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to reference these and say a little bit. But Psalm 119, verse 25, where the psalmist says, I lie in the dust, revive me by your word. And I paraphrase this verse like this: it is in the worst moments of life, when I can't even get off of the floor, your word does something to me. Your word brings me back to life. Your word revives me. And the fact that I'm standing here and the fact that my family and I are standing here is because, guys, the Word of God has revived us. Began to think about Psalm 119 and verse 50. But the psalmist says, your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. Guys, God's Word revived us. And just like all of us, we go through stuff, right? Whether it be a promotion you thought you were going to get, whether if it's a sudden loss of a loved one, an end of a relationship, a career path you thought you were going to go down, God's Word brings us back to reality. God's Word puts the things that are of most important in front of our face. And the one thing that you and I do very well is get our eyes off of what's truly important, what's truly reality. The Word of God revives us. Psalm 119, we also found in Psalm 119, verse 162, it says, I rejoice in your word like no one, like one who discovers great treasure. One who finds great treasure. Guys, we weren't groping around in the dark. We weren't groping around in the dark. Jesus was readily available. And some of us have lost that. You think, Jesus, God is so far off from your situation, so far off from what you're going through. Jesus is so readily available. So we didn't have to go groping around in the dark, coming up with what we thought who Jesus is. No, we were able to get a grip on reality through his word, getting a grip on Jesus through his word. And so very simply, my goal tonight is so that when our hearts become overwhelmed, we need to have already fed ourselves with the Word of God. And so my exhortation, my encouragement for us tonight is to choose to believe. Choose to believe the Word of God. I know there's a bunch of difficulties with the Word of God. I can tell you that. I know there's difficulties. But isn't there enough evidence that makes this book trustworthy? Isn't there enough evidence that makes this book the infallible, inerrant, authoritative Word of God? I can attest to you that it is. I can attest to you that there is enough in this book that makes this God's preserved word for you and me. That is why we need the Word of God. And so I know there are a lot of difficulties with the Word of God. And so because I know there's a bunch of difficulties with it, we just don't throw it out. I have difficulties going on currently with people that I live with. But does that mean that I'm going to exclude everyone? Does that mean that I'm going to start building walls up in exclusion to everyone? No. How unwise and cowardly would that be? Likewise, guys, I know there's difficulties with the Word of God, but it's still the Word of God. We don't just throw it all out because there are some things we don't understand. And quite honestly, there are things that God on purpose has not shown to us. And unfortunately, I know that there's people in your lives that will love to get you to doubt the Word of God. I know people in my life have gone there. I know scholars today have gone there where they don't believe the Word of God is actually God's preserved Word. I know seminaries are on their way to go there. I know there's actually churches in America that have completely thrown out the Bible. My encouragement to us is don't go there. I know there's difficulties in the Word of God, but there is enough in here that makes this God's Word. Have it in your heart and have it in your head. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And so because when you get news that your little brother is now suddenly dead, you better know some Bible. Not just for knowing the Bible's sake, because the Bible gives us Jesus. I want to make that crystal clear. Not by reading the Bible, we are made right with God. That is not what I'm talking about here. But because we've been made right with God, and we now have fellowship and communion with God, how we get to know that God is through His Word. It's because of what Jesus has done, we are able to have that loving, intimate, real, genuine, raw relationship with Him. So reading the Bible, just to read the Bible or to memorize Scripture, isn't what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about we read the Bible because we get Jesus. We read the Bible because we get to know Jesus. And when you get to know Jesus, you trust Jesus. And so when you trust Jesus, whenever He convicts you and tells you things that you need to lay aside because you trust this God and you know this God, what are you going to do? Of course, Lord, I've completely surrendered my life to You because I trust You, because I know You. We get to know and enjoy Jesus when we read this book. Because of the Word of God, I reminded myself that God, since the beginning of time, will always remain faithful from thousands of years of testimony and thousands of years to the point where how we even got our Bibles today. If you were to just Google that and spend an hour on Google researching how we got our Bibles, either the Christians have covered this up really well for thousands of years, or God truly preserved His Word. And the one thing the enemy will do to you and me is to get our eyes off of His continual faithfulness. Think about it, guys. When has God not been faithful? I mean, yeah, I just told you guys about thousands of years of God's faithfulness, whether it be with the Jewish people, with us, but I'm just bringing it down to us right here, our lives. Can you think, for those of us that are in Christ, can you think of a moment where God was left unfaithful? Where God left you high and dry? The enemy would love to get us to think that. But that's not the case. That's not the God that you and I serve. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8 says this, My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. You guys believe me when I say that the book of Psalms is really emo? It truly is. But the reality is that we don't trust because we don't know. And the reason why we don't know who God is primarily is because we live in a very biblically illiterate culture. And again, my heart for us is to see the daily rhythm of reading our Bibles as us getting to spend time and enjoy fellowship with Jesus. I want to make that crystal clear that when we open God's Word, we spend time with a God that made it possible for us to be in relationship with Him. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4 says this: "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield." First prayer we had there in my mother's kitchen as soon as the police left was this prayer. It was a prayer of, "Lord, we trust You." We don't get it. We made that crystal clear. We don't understand. But we trust You. We know that You are going to get us through this. You give and You take away. But guys, honestly, I don't know how to say that if it isn't without the Word of God. I don't know how else to say that. Why else would I say that? Right? My mind would go immediately as to why. My mind would immediately start judging or start having doubts in the character of who God is, start doubting if He truly is good. I'm telling you, I don't know how, but by reading God's Word and getting to know my God. Verse 3 of Psalm 61, there, right there where it says, "For You are a shelter for me, a strong tower from my enemy." Guys, because of the Word of God, we knew where and in whom to take cover in. We took cover in Jesus. Psalm 37, verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness." Pay attention to that. Feed on His faithfulness. What I'm here to tell us here tonight is that right now is the time to feed on God's faithfulness, because we don't know when that faithfulness is going to come under attack. And the picture here is inferring that when we, His people, we are His sheep, and like good sheep, we feed on His faithfulness. And how do we do that? It is by the regular and daily intake of the Word of God. And so when our hearts get overwhelmed, we feast on His faithfulness. But this faithfulness has a context. God has a context. God has a background. And we see God's background in Isaiah 55, verse 8, where He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor..." This is God speaking to the prophet Isaiah. Okay, God speaking to the prophet Isaiah, He says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." We are not always going to understand the why. God allowed my baby brother to fall asleep on the wheel, but remember, God is always in control. God is always in control, and He didn't promise us understanding. He promised us peace beyond understanding. I'll say that again. He doesn't promise us understanding. He promises peace beyond understanding. Because of the Word of God, we are reminded that God is good and that He cares. Psalm 56, verse 8 says this: "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in Your bottle. You have recorded each one in Your book." Did you guys know that in every other religion, the deity, whatever deity of that religion is, whoever that person is, God is kind of like a nebulous, scary figure. It's kind of like a scary figure. I got to do these things so that He can't be upset with me, so that if I die, I can hopefully get to heaven. Hopefully. We don't know. And when I read this, and when I think about, I mean, and as corny as my mind wants to jump to, and to believe that God collects every tear in a bottle, I mean, it just goes back to the relational, how God desires to have relationship with his people. To the point where he would inspire the psalmist to write and say, hey, God cares about you so much that every tear that you shed on this earth, I collect them in a bottle. Not because it's in the word, I believe it, but when we get to heaven, I don't know how that's going to look. But that's the sort of God you and I serve. And so when my family and I received, the worst news any family can ever imagine receiving, all of the precepts, all of the doctrine, all of the truths, all of the passages were already in here. Therefore, it kept us from asking the question why. I brought that up earlier. I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that. It kept us because we were filled with the doctrines laid out in Scripture. We were filled with God's precepts, the simple passages of Scripture. It kept us from asking the question why. And I want to testify, guys, not to brag that my family and I are so spiritual, but because we simply have committed to read our Bibles daily. Because the Word of God doesn't necessarily give us the whys. And in his ways, we read earlier, his ways are higher than our ways. We are commanded other places in Scripture not to lean on our own understanding. The Word of God kept us from being in that unhealthy place of asking that question, why? Because when we ask that question, why, when we cast doubt on God, when we doubt God, this is what it does to us. Inevitably, that's going to lead us to, how could you do this? Inevitably, that's going to also lead us to asking God, don't you care? That's going to inevitably lead us to questioning God's goodness. That's also going to inevitably lead us to not believe in God's word. It's going to inevitably lead us to doubt the character of Christ and then the resurrection of Christ. Do you guys see the trajectory? Having been fortified by the word of God, we have painfully said, we trust you. We trust you, God. And again, I want to make clear, not boasting. I don't want to boast in us. I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to see the steady diet of God's word, not as a religious activity, but how we get to know God, how we get to know who God is and his character. And again, not to boast, but to encourage us, because our responses was namely due to the fact that we just read our Bible. So then, and this is another huge aspect of this, we are able to deal with God when the answer to our prayer is no. We're able to deal with God when the answer to our prayer is no. Because we know that faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God, and it had been 6 days since we got the news. We weren't able to see Apollo's body almost a week after he had passed away. And since we got the news of my brother's death, and because of legal issues and the embalming process, the embalming process of his body, we were unable to see him. And so my family and I waited, and we prayed like never before for the phone to ring to confirm the miracle of my brother's resurrection. And I want us to be crystal clear here. I believe that God 1,000% has the power to bring people back from the dead. Not only do we see it in Scripture, but there's eyewitness accounts of people of whom I trust that have seen that happen. So it wasn't that God wasn't able to bring my brother back. It was accepting that God said no. It was accepting that after 5 days after hearing that news that Apollo had passed and we finally got to see him, actually see him, and to cry, God, you can do it. I know you can. I know you can, Lord. I know you can do this. Please do this. And I will tell you, it takes more faith to accept God's no's. I will tell you, it takes more faith to accept God's no's in our lives than it does to see God move in crazy supernatural ways. God is able to heal and resurrect. But look at the Apostle Paul. If anybody had faith, it was the Apostle Paul. And when he cried out to God three times, Lord, remove this from me. What did he say? What did Jesus say? No, I'm not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient. Christ was not healed. He wasn't even saved from the cross, but instead he died and suffered on a cross. So if Christ should suffer and die, what makes you and I think that we shouldn't suffer and die? If God would let his own son die on a cross, who are we to think that if he dares to answer our most earnest prayer with no, we begin to doubt his character? We begin to trip out when we don't get the answer we want so desperately. But the truth is, we think that our knowledge supersedes that of our Creator. We esteem the worth of man too high than the word of God and the person of Christ. Psalm 119, verse 71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." I'll read this again, so just in case you guys didn't hear that correctly. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." This is a very weird place to go to, but because of the word of God and the character of Christ, I've been able to say repeatedly to my family, it is good for us to have been afflicted, not because of affliction's sake, but because of the word of God, and it tells us that we have a God that is bigger than any affliction, than any trial, than any sickness, than any death. And in addition to this, that it makes you and me more dependent on him, which is ultimately what he wants. And so then we are able to say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes, that I may learn your law. Because until we experience affliction, all these things are theoretical. All the Bible passages that we've read, the ones that we've read on t-shirts, on coffee mugs, until we experience affliction, they are all theoretical. And I will confess to you that many of the things that I've read, many of the things that I've preached and taught have been theoretical. And that doesn't mean that I don't believe them. I believe them like I do gravity, right? But when I experience gravity in a whole new way the moment I jump out of a plane 3,000 feet above. It's there when I jump out of the plane 3,000 feet up in the air, when I experience gravity in a whole new way. It is the same when we experience affliction. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I've preached this chapter so many times and have quoted it to other people and myself so much. But look what Paul says here in Romans 5. "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Again, I can't tell you how many times I've quoted this and taught from this, but I never experienced this verse like I have during these last 3 months. And ultimately, through all of this, we came to realize that we know Jesus. Through all of this, and that's ultimately what we wanted, what my family and I discovered through this is that we know Jesus. We truly do. He is all we have, especially in this moment, in a place where we want to retreat, in a place where we want to shut everyone and everything out. I'm telling you guys, Jesus is all that we got. Now, some of you don't know Jesus. Some of you are religious. Some of you just come here Some of you just do church to because you think that by coming here, whether you think that by doing some sort of act on your own makes you right before God. And I want to encourage us to realize that that's not the case. That's not the gospel. The gospel is we do everything in response into what Jesus has done for you and me. Can you say, like our main text, say he's been a shelter and a strong tower and a refuge? Is he your default? Is he the first place you go to? Is he your final authority? Is he the ultimate comfort? Is he your goal in life? Is he your greatest desire? If he's not, then you really don't know Jesus. You really don't know Jesus. Can you say what our psalm says in verse 4? I will abide in your tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. The reality is that we have the proclivity to find shelter, joy, and superficial fulfillment in other things. Honestly, if I can be honest with you guys, I find more joy, I find more fulfillment in relationships, in job titles, in job accomplishments. And the Word of God brings us back to that reality. And so if Christ isn't your hope, if Christ isn't the final authority in your life, if Christ isn't the first place you go to, if he isn't your greatest desire, you can make him your greatest desire tonight. Psalm 63 is crazy. Check this out with me. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body, my physical body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life. How I praise you. I'm going to read that again. It's just too good. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live. Lifting up my hands to you in prayer, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lay awake thinking of you, meditating on you throughout the night because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Not yet Christian, sitting in this cafe, can you say that? Can you physically long for God in this way? Do you physically long for God in this way? Can you say, like the psalmist says, your love is better than life? Can you say that? Because if we look at the gospel, we have every reason to be able to say that, right? For a God, for a perfect God, leave heaven, come to earth, deal with our messiness, deal with our sin, die a death that you and I deserved. And not just staying there, him rising again on the third day, giving us the power of his resurrection. How can we not say and pray and preach Psalm 63 every single day of our lives? How can we not? The biggest battle has been done. That debt, that unfathomable debt that you and I can never pay, has been paid in full. Just yesterday, I had a brother buy me a $200 ski jacket. I had such a problem with that, and I felt so indebted. I was like, man, I just mentioned to him that I really liked it. It was on sale for 50 bucks, but it was worth $200 because it was on a sale, and he bought it for me. I'm like, can I wash your car tomorrow? Can I, what can I do? This is a guy buying me a $200 ski jacket. God paid the penalty for your sin. In full. paid it in full. That check ain't gonna bounce, I can tell you that. He paid that in full. How can you and I not sing, pray, and remind ourselves every single day of Psalm 63? And so my hope for us is that we examine our lives today, because life could be very, very different tomorrow. Father, Lord, how fickle is our lives. Your word says that life is but a vapor. Life is so short. And Lord, we make our greatest desire, we make our greatest goal to things that, Lord, aren't going to last. And so, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here tonight, can you expose those things in us tonight? Expose where we are finding our true fulfillment, Lord. And it's not even true fulfillment, Lord. It's fake. It's fake fulfillment. It's temporal fulfillment. It's shallow joy. And like a faithful husband, Lord, you, and a faithful, patient, loving husband, Lord, you pursue us. You love us. You're so patient with us. You don't fly off the hinges. You see us in our perfect resurrected state. And Lord, and for that, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that it is because of the Word of God that you can guide our emotions, you can guide our thought life, that you can guide our opinions about who Jesus is. Not what culture says, not what TV says. And so, Lord, I really pray that you expose those false idols in us here tonight. And Lord, I pray for those of us that haven't responded to the good news of the gospel, Lord, that you make them repent of their sin. Realize that, Lord, without you, there is no life. That everything in this world that has to offer is shallow and fake. And that you call us into true, everlasting joy. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're there. You're there for me. You're there for my family and I right now. Thank you for your word. It is because of your word that, Lord, I am physically able to stand here and to speak on your behalf. And so, Lord, I know there's a bunch of us in here that are in that state. I know there's a bunch of us in here that are just getting weary. There's a bunch of us in here that don't know where else to go. Can you be the first person we run to? I know you've been running to other things, to other people, to substances, and God tonight is telling you to run to Him. I've already explained to you what He's done for you. What else is holding you back? What else is holding you back, not yet Christian? Lord, your love truly is better than life. So, Lord, as painful as that's been for us, and as painful as it is when we are afflicted, Lord, can we, like Job, can we, like Paul, say, you know best, we trust you. Help us, Lord. We can't do this alone. We need your Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you start convicting people of sin right now. You start bringing them to yourself right now. That the false idols that we've been giving ourselves over to become exactly that, false idols. And make you, Jesus, our Lord. Make you, Jesus, our Savior, our friend, one that can sympathize with us. And so, Lord, do a work that only you can. Do it, Lord. I know you can. And I believe, and we believe, that you can. Help us to do that, Lord. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds. This is the day that life